court appointed is meant to be for entertainment purposes and basic legal information only.
Nothing in this podcast should be considered as legal representation nor legal advice.
Only use the knowledge presented herein to dazzle your friends or possibly win bar trivia. Perspective on legal frivolity. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I am just a dude.
Tommy, we've been getting a lot of really good suggestions on our Facebook page lately.
I know, quite a few. We've seen some new names on there and a lot of good suggestions.
Yeah, so if you're not a member of the Facebook group, you should definitely join that. If you have any topic ideas or want to comment on anything, or if you think we've perhaps misquoted something?
Well, or one of my foggy memories comes halfway out and I can't finish the rest of it, or I don't know who did it. We always have someone that's good enough to post something in there. I got three different posts in there that Roger Miller did the song that I referred to that we didn't know, the
Laws of England or something.
Yeah, Westminster Abbey and the Tower of Big Ben and the rosy red cheeks of the little children.
Yeah, we, I forget who it was that dubbed it. They called those people who correct us on there, our corrections officers.
Yeah, those are our correction officers. They help us out. They fill in the blanks for us. So any of those things you hear us stumble around on and we kind of halfway get right, go to the Facebook page. You'll see what the rest of the story is. We got a lot of good contributors.
You can be a CO. That's industry slang for correction officer.
That's right. Not a company.
Yeah. I know that from Orange is the New Black, though.
Or it's not from the Army, a CO.
Commanding officer?
Correct.
Oh, look at me.
There you go. It wasn't in the military, but I knew that from movies.
That's right.
I watch a lot of movies. I wasn't in there, but I watched a lot of movies about it. That's the basis of all my knowledge, movies and TV.
Well, today's topic is kind of a mixture of two different suggestions we had on our Facebook page, and they were kind of linked, so we thought we'd just mash them together and talk about it. And it's
a court-appointed mashup.
That's right.
Those are all the rage.
It's a remix.
I don't know. Since Glee went off, you don't get all the mashups you used to. They are always good with the mashups.
Brittany.
Not that I ever watched it.
I really didn't watch Glee.
Well, I did. Riley liked it.
Yeah.
So it was something to bond over.
Brittany Sherrard sent in a request on something about background checks for hiring and housing. And then Jane Barnes sent us a link to an article about genetic testing by employers. We figured that we would do kind of a little episode on employment law and kind of hiring practices.
All right. That sounds like a good topic.
I think so, too. I hope so, because we're doing it.
It better be good. That's what Audio Boom has us here for, right?
That's right. Audio Boom has us on the network because we hopefully...
Do good topics.
We talk good.
We talk real good.
So labor and employment law is kind of a specialty area in the law these days. There's lots of important details whenever you're hiring and firing someone. Many firms are set up and only deal with this one practice area. I used to represent a school board when I was in Florida, and whenever we had any kind of hiring issues or firing issues or things like that, we outsourced all the legal work that related to that employment law area because it's so specialized. Especially with a school board and you have teachers, and there's things like teachers' unions, collective bargaining agreements, and things like that. Do you know what a collective bargaining agreement is?
Absolutely, I know what one is. That is the agreement between a union and the owners of the business or the officers or whatever that they operate under. It describes what the company must do and what the union employees must do.
Do you have that? Did you know that from your tenure at the railroad?
That is correct. I had to deal with the collective bargaining agreement quite a bit. People would time card you on the railroad. That was what you'd always hear.
What's that mean?
Well, that means that if somebody else did something that was, and I'm doing air quotes, you can't see this, their job, mm-hmm. then you time slipped them. You put in something and said, so-and-so performed this service, and that technically belongs to our craft. Therefore, I am entitled to 8 hours pay for this person that made copies on the copy machine because that's a clerk's job. Seriously, that's what would happen.
No good deed goes unpunished.
That's right. So those are things I had to deal with when I was on the railroad. It's like, my saying was, you had to pay them for 8 hours just to show up. And if you wanted them to do anything, you had to pay them extra.
That sounds like my kind of job. I don't think my clients would like that too much. So if I paid them just to show up and then they paid me just to show up and they had to pay me extra to do my job.
It's kind of like a slogan that I read off a Holiday Inn sign one time to Sydney, and it stuck with her. She has never forgotten it, that 90% of success is just showing up. And she has quoted me on that before. She doesn't know why. She doesn't remember it was a Holiday Inn hotel sign.
She thinks it was some sort of...
Yeah, she thinks it was some great saying handed down from our forefathers or something. Benjamin Franklin or somebody like that.
Well, she'll never know because...
Unless she listens.
Well, maybe she does. Maybe she does. I don't know. I think she listens to Court Appointed. Why does she listen to the HIPAA one for sure?
Well, I would hope so.
Yeah. So whenever employers are hiring somebody and they do a background check and interview process, there's different things they look for. One of the things they always look for is the criminal record.
Of course.
They want to do a background check to make sure the person doesn't have any kind of criminal history. Now, you would think that there might be some sort of kind of national database. You just plug in Thomas Booth Smurl, and then...
Man, way to go. You just gave out my middle name.
Does he want me to give you out your Social Security number? No.
What are you trying to do to me?
That is your middle name. It slipped out.
I'm not named for John Wilkes.
Was your middle name secret?
Yes.
Oh.
No one ever guesses it.
We'll have to edit that out then.
They think it's like Bob.
Bob?
Tommy Bob.
Tom Bob. Hey, Tom Bob.
Good night, John Boy.
But so there's not a real one database where you would actually just put in somebody's name and do a search and determine if they had any kind of criminal background check or criminal background.
Because they don't communicate, do they?
They don't. Now, there's different national databases. One's called the NCIC, which is the National Crime Information Center. And the other is NICS, National Instant Criminal Background Check System.
Oh, I watch that. That comes on TV a few nights a week.
That's right. But these are not complete databases. I mean, they do a pretty good job of kind of compiling the information, but they're not actually complete.
Well, and for the most part, there's private companies that do that, right?
They are.
So, I mean, they're kind of competing for business there, basically.
They are. And a lot of times, if an employer is asking you for your former addresses and things you live for like the past 10 or 15 years, really what they probably want that information for is so they can give it to a private investigator or somebody who can actually go to the local courthouses in each county or whatever that jurisdiction and do a search there at the actual courthouse, because that's where the records are kept. And that's really the best way to do it.
Do they have to tell you if they're going to perform a background check on you? Or do you have to sign some kind of form when you're in the preliminary, you know, having your interview or whatever?
Well, that's going to be probably governed slightly state by state, but generally they do disclose that the background check would be part of whatever your job you're going to do. Now, under the EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, they are required to not discriminate against you for any kind of criminal thing in the past that you may have done if it's not really germane to the job you're doing. That could be an issue where, you know, if they do have to disclose that. I really don't know. I don't think that they have to.
Well, I guess that's part of the problem, because a lot of times I know job applications are like, have you ever been convicted of a felony?
Right.
They'll ask you that on job applications. So if you say yes, does that eliminate you from a job?
Well, and also the way that's worded is also a very important thing, too, when you're filling out these applications. If you say, have you ever been convicted of a felony? No. Well, I was charged with 20.
Yeah, there you go.
But I was not, I beat them all.
Well,
I hired Mike Meadows, and he got me off of all of them.
Mike Meadows, the man to call when you're feeling really small. Didn't know where to go with that.
Yeah.
Had to rhyme.
The reason they ask you for where you lived is because chances are if you broke a law, it's probably where you lived, and that's they can kind of, you know, track it that way. So that was the whole reason as to why.
So the moral is break laws, not where you live.
Well, you're probably less likely to get caught that way.
That's like just like the old saying, you don't crap where you sleep, right?
Yeah, that's definitely an old saying.
I cleaned that up a little bit for this broadcast.
Now, in different states, they have a process called expungement. It's also called expunction. And basically that is a court...
I try not to laugh. I know that's a real word, but still.
Expunction?
It makes me think of SpongeBob.
Expunction?
Yeah, expunction or expungent or whatever.
Well, it's essentially...
He expunged his record.
I'm going to expunge your record. It's a court-ordered process where basically the legal record of an arrest or criminal conviction is sealed and erased in the eyes of the law. Hmm. Now, even though it might be sealed in those court records, now some of these databases, like the FBI database, might actually keep that in their record because they basically compiled it at a certain time. And really all the expungement or expunction is going to do is tell the clerk of that certain court to erase it and tell the like the sheriff or the police department to erase it or seal it. So if it's already out there, it might still show up on one of those databases. So even
it's just like those naked pictures you take on your phone and end up on the internet. Once it's out there, it's out there forever.
I don't know what you're talking about. I do not.
Well, I didn't mean you as in you personally. I meant you generally.
Oh, you meant the royal you?
Yeah, not you, you. If you take naked pictures on your phone, I don't know about it. That's between you and your phone. They won't get me for that. I don't have a wide-angle lens.
So, what was I talking about?
You were talking about the naked pictures you take on your phone.
Yeah, the wide-angle lenses. So,
objection, Your Honor. Overruled.
There's a selfie stick joke in there, and I can't formulate it. You get a team of monkey riders in here to figure that joke out.
They don't allow those at Disney World.
If on an application you have something which says, "Have you ever been arrested or convicted of a crime?" and you have, but you've gotten it expunged, and you think, "Well, I'll be clever and I'm not going to answer that truthfully because it's been expunged," they still might find out about it, even though it's been expunged.
So then you'd have to explain it.
Yeah, then basically, especially if it's something where you've signed some sort of affidavit at the end guaranteeing that everything you've said has been truthful and under penalty of perjury and things like that. A lot of government jobs have that kind of certification at the end. Then you could have perjured yourself by not disclosing that just because you think, well, it's been expunged. It's important to read those questions and always answer them very truthfully.
But there's a difference between something being expunged and something where you just served your time. Right?
Correct. Yeah.
Those aren't the same thing.
No, absolutely
not. Expunged means somebody has come back and said, okay, because you did this, we're going to remove this from your record like it never happened.
Essentially, yeah. But you can't totally remove it because once it's out there, like the naked pictures
it's out there.
But once the naked pictures on your phone are out there,
that's
out
right.
There. Yeah, it's always important to read those questions on the and answer them truthfully because even though it might be sealed or expunged or things like that, it's really not ever completely gone. So.
That's a real catch, though. I mean, because you're answering the question honestly. I mean, if you worked, maybe you really worked to get this thing expunged because it was something you were falsely accused of or something.
Yeah.
And somebody agreed with you if they did that. And yet, yeah, I did get charged with that, but it got expunged. Well, but you didn't answer this honestly. Well, you did because you didn't think it would show up.
Well, yeah, there's a difference between answering it honestly and not thinking it would show up. So that's why I think the better way to approach a question like that would to say yes, and then say, but it was expunged and the records have been sealed. And that way you're being truthful about it. Because here's the thing. People generally, and this is with juries and everything, people will accept the truth and forgive you for the truth or deal with the truth, but they hate a liar.
You can't handle the truth.
People hate a liar. Juries hate a liar.
They do hate a liar, but what if you're an innocent liar?
It doesn't matter. You're better off. You're better off.
I saw you roll your eyes at that.
Yeah.
Innocent liar.
Yeah. Innocent liar. What's that?
I didn't know what I was saying. I was drunk at the time.
Yeah. It's always better just to be completely honest and then deal with it later. Because if you get caught in a lie and something like that, then not good.
So well, speaking of being a drunk, I noticed you're back to drinking again.
Being a drunk? What are you talking about?
I noticed you're back to drinking after all your religion talk last week.
Well, it's not religion talk. It was just I was giving something up for Lent.
Well, you gave up a little early. You gave up your give up.
Well, I kind of hastily
made the decision,
and I didn't realize that college basketball tournament was going to be on.
There you go. See, you can't do that. Carte blanche, and then there you go. You that things like come up like you know March Madness,
St. Patty's Day.
Yeah. Plus, you got to sit there and look at me drinking them across from you every once a week.
Ski trip. You know, all these different things, you know, it's like, what was I thinking?
Hot toddies shouldn't count.
40 days and 40 nights.
that's rough. Jesus was in the desert. He wasn't tempted for those 40 days by drinks. There wasn't any.
That's right.
All he had was cactuses.
There's water in cactuses, I think.
There's some kind of juice. I don't know if it's water.
Cacti juice?
Yeah.
So the other thing that employers might look at, aside from like criminal background records, is like a credit report, which is what you might have. What everybody has is a report that lists your debts and your obligations and things like that, whether or not you're current with them, thing, you know, that nature. So if you have credit cards and if you're current paying them, student loans, car payments, things like that. And if you're current with it, that's what the kind of the report would show.
I want to file a major objection on that.
Why is that?
I don't think that's right. They shouldn't be able to look at your credit report. That should not matter. You need a job because you owe all these bills. And they're going to look at that and say he's got bad credit and I'm going to hire him. I don't think they should be allowed to look at my credit report.
Now, there's actually 11 states which kind of agree with you.
Well, good. I hope I live in one of them.
No, you don't. Oh. California.
Good thing I got a job. Good thing I own my own business.
California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Hawaii, Illinois, Maryland, Nevada, Oregon, Vermont, Washington all limit that practice.
I just think that's terrible.
Well, I agree with you. I do think it's a good idea and would be kind of applicable if the person is going to be handling finances or things like that. I can see where it might be relative to their job qualifications.
But, you know, everybody has hard times. And things happen, and you do the best you can do, you know, a lot of times. And if you're looking for a job, either you're looking to improve your situation or you don't have a job.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you might go into debt. Maybe you were doing great for a while, then you fell on hard times. Your factory closed, and now you can't pay your bills, and you've run up a bunch of credit cards, and you're late, and you're behind on your mortgage. That doesn't mean you're a bad guy and you shouldn't be employed.
I agree with you. Now, the one thing about this is that if they want to do a credit report on you, they do have to disclose that to you under the Fair Credit Reporting Act, and you actually have to sign something in writing, which authorizes them to be able to do that.
Now, do you do that through the credit bureau or that is checking, or do you do that through your job application?
It'd be through the job application. There'll be a separate piece of paper which says that you authorize them to do a credit report.
But it's a no-win situation. If you don't sign it, then they scratch your name and you don't even get considered.
Right. That's not one of the protected classes, though, as far as whether or not, you know, it's discrimination. So that's why these states have kind of limited that practice. So they're trying to kind of keep that from happening. Now,
I'm going to fight for rights for those that are creditly challenged.
There you go.
That's going to be my new movement.
Meanwhile, everybody at your company has to have a background check before you.
Well, that's because they handle private secured records. That's why they have to have a background check. But I don't check their credit rating.
No, I'm just teasing you. No, I mean, yeah, I could tell from your demeanor you definitely don't do that. But no, I think a criminal background check is probably an important thing.
Yeah. You know,
what if they've been convicted of identity theft like 10 times, then you hire them?
Yeah, and they've got access to people's social security numbers and things like that.
Their middle names. Have
that. Yeah, their middle names that you just broadcast here.
Booth is a proper middle name.
Yeah, it's my proper middle name. That was my grandfather.
The one thing that if you do authorize a company to do a background check on you and a credit check, now it's only going to be a credit report. It's not going to be an actual credit score. And the difference is that a credit score is a number which is generated by a company, which 300 to 800 range or something like that. And that's basically for lenders. That's how they evaluate whether or not you are a liability to lend money to. So if you do this, if you authorize a company to do a credit report on you, it's not going to give them a number. It's just going to basically do like a snapshot of your obligations, your debts.
Well, sometimes
that's
even worse, though, because there's a lot of things that hang around on your credit report that you may have gotten cleared up, that you may have fixed, and they're still there.
Yeah,
7 years. But if you don't go through miles of red tape to get it fixed, then it's going to still be hanging there. I mean, there's a lot of bad information on credit reports. That's probably one we should do something about. I mean, do an episode about is credit reports, because there's a lot of bad information on them, and it takes an act of God practically to fix them.
I found some bad information on one of mine about a year and a half ago, and I sent a dispute letter and all this stuff, and it came off of it. But as a result of that, I basically enrolled in this monitoring thing. It's like $20-some a month where it monitors your credit and lets you know of any changes. So basically, I have to pay a $20 a month tax to make sure that there's no changes on my credit because I'm so scared of it.
That's BS.
It's a racket.
Yeah, that's BS. That shouldn't be. By God, I'm grinding my gears again here. I'm getting my gears ground.
Getting your gears ground?
Yeah.
The one thing that, and I alluded to this earlier, is that I can see why having a credit report might be important if the person is in some sort of position where embezzlement or dealing with large sums of money, if they have access to a company credit card, which has a high limit, things like that.
Because I agree.
Because the problem is that if a company hires somebody who is a known thief and they don't do their due diligence and that employee steals from a customer, then the company may be sued for negligently hiring that person. Basically, the company will have breached their duty to protect their customers.
That's if it's a public traded company.
What do you mean?
Well, who's going to sue them if they hired somebody and it's just a little mom and pop store and they hired somebody that was embezzling? Nobody's going to sue them for that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Who?
Me.
Why will you sue them? What do you have standing? See, I know that word now.
Well,
you can't just throw that stuff around.
Say, for example, if I go to a restaurant even. I go to a restaurant and someone...
What restaurant?
Charlie's.
All right. What are you having?
I'm having all-you-can-eat chicken tenders on Tuesday.
Okay.
Which...
Are you drinking or are you just drinking... Cokes or water?
Just water. There's no room for any kind of beverage other than water when you're trying to do all-you-can-eat chicken tenders.
Okay.
That's plates.
Serious business.
Three plates is my personal best. But anyway, I go to O'Charlie's, and after having three plates of chicken tenders, I'm in a coma, and I give the waitress my credit card, and she runs it, but she writes down the numbers, the expiration date, that little code on the back, and then she goes on to Amazon and charges up $1,000 on things, basically using my credit card, and has it all shipped. And I find out basically there's been some unauthorized use, and somehow I determine that I can track it back to the fact that she's the one that did it, and it's the waitress at O'Charlie's. Now, see, that's going to be the problem too, is tracing it back, because it's really hard to do that. But if you were able to do that and determine that she was the one that did it, then I can say, well, I'm going to sue O'Charlie's for negligently hiring her. And then if I do some discovery during the court process and I find out that she's been convicted of this for two times before and they didn't do some sort of background check on that, then you know what? They are probably negligent for doing that.
Okay. All right. I'm going to give you a good and a bad on that example.
Okay.
O'Charlie's is probably publicly traded. That's a chain restaurant. So that's probably publicly traded. However, I'm going to give you a good because I do understand what you're saying. When you said embezzlement to me, I thought they were embezzling from the company. But if they're taking it from the patrons that are there, now I understand. So
I'm going to give you a good and a bad.
Okay.
The good is I said O'Charlie's because I was naming that after your grandchild. Her name is Charlie, and we just saw her.
Yeah.
The bad is that you punked me on that.
There is an O'Charlie's. Did you think you were making that up?
No, I know there's no Charlie's. My mom used to call it Charlie O's. I don't know. I don't know why.
It's like SpaghettiOs. That's what she'd ordered there. SpaghettiOs at Charlie O's. We each got a good and a bad.
Well, I know there's no Charlie's because I know they have all you can eat chicken tenders on Tuesdays.
Oh, I thought you were making that up. I'll give you a good on that.
I don't joke about all you can eat chicken.
I might have to go there now that I know that.
Yeah, be careful though.
Although I'm trying to cut back.
Well, chicken tenders is a good source of protein.
Yeah, but not two plates of them.
Three
plates of them.
And
they have breading
and some fries.
That's not good either.
And a bowl. Just bring me a bowl of ranch.
I'm trying to eat just vegetables and maybe a chicken breast.
A whole bowl of ranch is what I require. A whole bowl.
Whole bowl. Bring the bowl out. He's back.
Just give me a spoon.
It's Tuesday. He's here again.
Now check.
Signs say all you can eat, not you can eat all.
Yeah. Now check with your local O'Charlie's because it may or may not be Tuesday. I know it's one day. I'm pretty sure it's Tuesday.
It may not be at every O'Charlie's.
Yeah.
It may be just a West Virginia thing since we have cornered the market on obesity.
You know, somebody's probably going to post on our Facebook now, O'Charlie's, whether or not they're a public trade, you know, with their stock symbol and
they'll
all that.
They'll fix me, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I like about them. They keep me straight. I don't get too far from the truth. I don't ever purposely. I just don't know much.
Well, you know what your problem is.
What's that?
You can't handle the truth.
I am the truth.
Mm-hmm. So the other thing when you're talking about hiring or firing and things like that is there's a commission called the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, or EEOC.
I've heard of them.
Yes. And they're a federal agency that administers and enforces civil rights laws. Part of their mission statement is to stop workplace discrimination. They will investigate discrimination based on race, color, national origin, religion, sex, age, disability, gender identity, genetic information, and retaliation for reporting anything that occurred discriminating against anybody.
I.e. whistleblower laws.
That's right. They'll protect whistleblowers. The purpose of the EEOC, a lot of times, like, for example, if I was going to be suing an employer and they discriminated against somebody based on one of these different issues, I would file a complaint with the EEOC, and the EEOC would investigate it, and then they would give me what's called a right to sue letter, and then I could sue that company under a violation from the EEOC. So those are that's kind of one of the avenues to recover against an employer for one of these discriminatory practices. So, and they also they'll do like a mediation as well. So they'll do like pre-suit stuff where you can try to resolve it prior to actually filing suit.
And they're the ones that have decided things like you can't ask somebody how old they are.
Yeah.
And you can't ask, like, if it's a female employee, do you plan on getting pregnant anytime soon? Things like that. Those are questions you can't ask during interview sessions.
Exactly. You're not supposed to ask anybody their religious affiliation, whether or not they're pregnant, their political affiliation, race, color, or ethnicity, their age, whether or not they're disabled, are they married, do they have children, are they in debt, also if they drink or they smoke.
Can you ask them if they want a beer? I did that to Travis. It worked.
He did. You tricked him.
He said yes. I fired him there on the spot.
Well, you never hired him.
Well, I didn't I didn't even consider it.
What Tommy's talking about, if you haven't watched yet, is the My Brother and Me television show. I think that was episode 2, where...
Padding your resume.
Yeah, padding your resume, where Justin, Travis, and Griffin...
They all came, applied for a job
They applied for a job with Tommy, and Tommy was interviewing them, and he asked Travis, he said, well, you seem like a good guy. Do you want a beer? And Travis was like, well, sure. And he's like, ha, it was a trick.
It worked.
It did work.
I knew he'd fall for it. Of the three brothers, I knew he was the one that would fall for it.
I may have spoiled that little segment, but
I've never met a beer that Travis wouldn't like.
but that's a great show. If you haven't watched that, you should definitely check it out. It's on CISO.
He was my Smee.
Smee?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, for
Peter Pan. I played Captain Hook, and he was my Smee. I got to hit him on the head repeatedly. That's what's wrong with him now.
You hit him with the hook?
I used the hook. Yeah, hooked him in the head. He has a good big head for hitting.
How many times have you played Captain Hook?
Three.
Three?
Yeah.
Is that one of your favorite roles?
That is one of my favorite roles. I like playing that often, and I have my own hook. I bring it out of mothballs every 10 years and play it again.
You have your own hook?
I have my own hook. Guy across the street was a welder, and I went over and drew the design. I said, I need a good hook. This is what I want it to look like. I don't want some wimpy hook like those little plastic ones they sell in the Halloween costumes. I want a good hook.
Yeah.
Well, he built me one.
Was that one of the Mosses?
Yeah, Ed Moss.
Oh, yeah. I remember him. We used to tailgate with him for the football games.
Yeah, he used to weld for Fletcher's.
The other thing that we had been suggested was the article Jane Barnes had sent it in. And basically, this is about genetic information and employers and their ability to access your genetic information. Currently, right now, there's a new bill which just passed the committee in the House, which would allow employers to essentially demand workers' genetic test results. I don't know what is more personal than your DNA at this point.
That is pretty much your makeup.
That's what makes you up. So... H.R. Bill 1313, as I said, it was approved by the House committee, and all 22 Republicans supported it, and the 17 Democrats opposed it. Now, when I read stuff like that, you want to talk about grinding gears?
Mm-hmm.
That grinds my gears.
Yeah.
Because I just don't believe that all...
There's no thought going into it.
No. No, they're like, I'm a Republican, I'm voting for this because that's what my party's doing. I'm a Democrat, I'm voting against it
because that's what their party's doing.
I can't stand party politics.
I can't either. Why can't people think for themselves? You know what the answer is? Term limits.
Term limits?
Term limits.
You might be right.
If you could only be there for one or two terms, you would do the right thing. But when your goal is to be reelected for life, you do whatever will get you reelected for life.
Yeah. And that's probably sticking with your party because they're the ones who'll support you in the next election.
Sure.
Make sure you get money. Make sure you get all those sweet deals with the different lobbyists and whatever.
If you were only going to be there one or two terms, that's all you could be there, would you not be more tempted to stick your neck out and make a difference?
I think so.
I know I digress here. I'm going off on a political tantrum, but
well, I mean,
a completely different show. But I know what you're saying there, and I agree with you. I don't care which side you're on; it's wrong.
I knew this was going to be an issue because in my notes I have party politics tirade. That's the filler for this section. So I knew this was going to be one of those things. So back in 2008, GINA law, which was Genetic Privacy and Non-Discrimination Law, was passed, and that essentially prohibited group health plan from asking you, let alone requiring you, to undergo any kind of genetic test, and especially for any kind of underwriting purposes. So basically, you know, you're genetically predisposed to have diabetes, we're going to make your premium a little bit higher.
Right.
So they basically wanted to avoid that because that's where science is going. We're able to basically analyze someone's DNA and determine what their individual proclivities are for certain kinds of
certain
issues.
Genes, yeah, indicate the proclivities to have certain diseases.
Now, the thing is that they're not actually, the way this is going to work is it's not actually going to be just flat out, hey, you're going to have to go get a genetic test when you know what's going on with you. They're going to house it under this, what's called wellness programs. And they're actually already allowed to do that because under the Obama administration, there were a lot of concessions given to employers for this kind of thing. And these wellness programs give employees certain financial benefits to participate voluntarily in screenings for like cholesterol, the health questionnaire about like habits, individual things like weight loss incentives, smoking, plans to get pregnant, things like that. So basically, you can't see this right now, but I'm doing air quotes, voluntary program. And
then, I saw them.
Yeah, you can vouch for me. And then you get some sort of break on your health insurance, or the company gets some sort of break on their premiums because you're voluntarily submitting these. So what they're trying to say is that by doing this voluntary genetic program, you'll get some sort of premium break. So,
well, and I can say I am very split on this. Now, we can go back to the HIPAA episode that we did on your side, on the court-appointed side, and on the Sawbones side. Mm-hmm. And we can talk about that. Part of HIPAA, when they had the electronic records part, electronic records that the government was going to pay for you to do, had to have meaningful use, which meant the government could look at the electronic records. They were going to help you pay to convert to electronic records, but the government wanted to look at it. Okay, now that was under Obama, a Democrat, that did that. Now you have a Republican version that has to do with DNA testing. And DNA, everybody knows, means dynamic nuclear atoms. So
I don't think that's right.
Yes, it's correct, I'm sure.
Okay.
So anyway, here's the thing. If you keep that clause that says no pre-existing conditions can be, you know, you can't discriminate against that. You know, you have to insure people even with pre-existing conditions. All right. Accept that if that's true. All right. Now you're looking at their DNA. All right. Suppose somebody could tell you you're predisposed for this, just like they do with like breast cancer. Mm-hmm. They can see that you're predisposed. Would you want to have a mastectomy so that you can avoid having to go through breast cancer? And now, because we found this ahead of time, we're going to pay for this as opposed to the cost that it would be later on when you would actually go through cancer treatments and everything else for it. So this is why this is kind of hard for me. I can see both sides of it. If they're not going to use it against you, if they're going to use it merely to head off disasters that may befall you in the future, and they're still going to pay for it, and they're not going to raise your premiums,
yeah,
they're still going to give you insurance.
Well,
that's the reason, I'll go along with it.
Well, those are the two big ifs right there.
That's right.
Not raise your premiums and still cover it.
And that's it's.
But they're not going to do that.
It's like the old, with great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah, it's like Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. It's like having a superhero power. It's like X-ray vision. Don't look in the bathroom, you know, or whatever.
Don't look in the bathroom.
Something. Don't look.
Do not go in there.
Or something like that.
Do not go in there for like 35, 45 minutes.
Don't, you know, use it for the proper thing. If they use that for the proper thing, it can be a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It can better people's lives. If they're doing it to raise premiums and to segment people out, then it's a bad thing. So that's what I want to know. Is it for good or bad? Let's do it for good. I don't care what party you're with. Do it for good.
Call me cynical. I don't think it's going to be used for bad. That's just me.
But it could be used for good just as easily and probably save more money.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know.
Would you like to know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I would too.
I think the cholesterol screening is probably a good thing. Like if your cholesterol is high and you start exercising more because you're eating your oatmeal in the mornings to lower your cholesterol. I don't know if that really works or not. We'll have to ask Sydney about that. But if you do that, I mean, then that's great.
All right. Helps tied into Joe Biden's moonshot against cancer. The more statistics you can gather from people, the bigger your database to draw conclusions. You start getting everybody in that database and start trying to figure out what are the things that are the telltale signs for that.
Yeah.
So it could be used for good. It could be used for bad. I don't know what to think about this. I can't grind my gears on this one because I don't know.
Well, I'm just thinking it's probably not going to be used for good. That's just me.
Well, I hope you're wrong, little buddy. But I can understand the cynical world you grew up in. I grew up in a utopia of hippies and flower music and Led Zeppelin. So, you know, it's hard for me to think bad about these things. I'd like to think we're out here for the greater good of humanity.
I grew up in the 80s. I don't know. That was like more
disco. Disco would warp a guy.
That wasn't disco.
80s and 90s, that was disco.
I love to love you, baby.
Over and over and over.
I'm going to have to respectfully disagree with you on the fact that the 80s were disco. I do want to bring
hair bands?
Yeah, hair bands. Metal.
Okay, hair bands.
Yeah. And new wave music. The Cure.
The Cure?
Yeah. The Smiths. The Cure. That band had to be called.
They didn't have the staying power of the Stones, Led Zeppelin, the Beatles.
Because those people are all pickled.
Bob Seger. They didn't have that kind of staying power.
So I have to voice some, some discontent about this podcast and about the episode you did with Sydney on Sawbones.
Why's that?
I have. During this episode, I'm going to have to go back on the duty count meter. Said duty. The word duty several times, and there's not even been the slightest chuckle from you. And Sydney teed you up, I believe, three or four times on Sawbones with duty.
That's a classier operation, though. I couldn't go with duty on that show.
Why didn't you say it? Why didn't you make the duty joke?
They're
today?
Classier over
there.
Why
did you make the duty
there?
Joke today when I said it?
I didn't hear you say it.
I feel like you don't even listen to me.
Maybe they classed me up over there. I was over there and they classed me up. And I can't stoop to this bathroom humor of yours.
Well, you are wearing glasses now, like with, you know, some sort of, you know, educated look.
That's right. I had to put on my glasses.
You don't even wear glasses. What do you
I do if I want to look smart. It's better to look good than to feel good. Isn't that what's his name? Billy Crystal's character on Saturday Night Live? Don't you remember that? What was that, Alfonso or something like that?
That was during disco in the 70s.
It was. Billy Crystal made his resurgence there on Saturday Night Live.
Well, one other thing I wanted to touch on, talking about employment type background checks, is they may, and this is if you're like a driver or something like that and have some sort of component where you're driving, they may want to do like a driver's license check on you to determine if you have like a history of speeding or a lot of tickets, because that can be kind of...
That makes sense. Do they have to tell you, though? Do they have to tell you if they're going to do a background check? Do you have to sign something to say it's okay?
I know you have to with regards to a credit report. There's no doubt about that under the Fair Credit Reporting Act, you have to. Now, as far as like a background check, I've applied for jobs where it says that they will perform one and you have to initial by that. But I don't know off the top of my head if there is some specific federal law or like under the EEOC where they actually have to disclose that to you.
Well, here's why I ask. In preparing for this episode, mm-hmm. You know me, I'm always prepared.
Right.
Right. I always have a drink in my hand.
A Boy Scout.
That's it.
May have been the last Boy Scout. I don't even know.
That could be. Bruce Willis. I found five stories of background checks gone awry. Now, I'm not going to break them all down, but three of them had to do with people having very common names. And so they applied for a job, and like it came back and said they had a criminal history, they were a sex offender, you know, things like that. And they weren't going to hire them. But fortunately, the guy was able to, you know, these three different people were able to find out what they were saying about him. And they were able to go in and say, look, that wasn't me. And some of them they proved by having a different middle initial. Some of them they proved by having a different birthday. But here's the thing. How many people maybe got noticed you didn't get the job? And it was because of something like that. And they didn't know. I mean, would it be right in an interview to say, now, if you get something back on a background check that gives you any pause to question me, would you please give me a call and discuss it with me?
Well, I was denied a security badge because there was an allegation or a thought on a background check that I had some delinquent property taxes on a piece of property.
And it was a different Mike Meadows.
It was different Mike Meadows. A completely different
middle, a common name. A
completely different middle name.
See, if you were a Smurl, there aren't any other Smurls around here but me. They know it's me.
That's right. They're, Smurls are infamous.
It's either me or my dad. That's it.
So, yeah, but it was. I was like, well, I don't understand. They're like, well, you have delinquent property tax. I was like, I don't own property there. Like, what are you talking about?
I own nothing. My stuff is stored in Tommy's basement.
Yes, I have some... I have a small amount of money. I keep it in a glass jar and I bury
it
under my bed. One day I hope to have more.
Another guy, by the way, one of those three guys with the common names, his name was Samuel Jackson. But he was not the movie star.
I'm tired of these credit reports messing up my name.
Now, another one, this was a girl named Donnie Ward. She had a twin named Donnie Ward. Now, can you believe it? I guess there was a dad. This had to have been an abusive relationship. And the dad insisted they both be named Donnie and thought that was cute that there was a male and a female Donnie named after him. But anyway, she went and applied for a job, and her twin brother had a long criminal record, so she had to fight to try to prove that she was not her twin brother. And then the last one,
Donnie, was, by the way, is my favorite new kid.
Oh, Donnie on New Kid on the Block?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Donnie Wahlberg. And he's one of the part owners of Wahlburgers.
That's right.
Have you ever had a Wahlburger?
I haven't.
We'll have to go to Jersey sometime and get one.
Is that where they're all located?
They're not all located there. They got some in L.A., I think, but I don't think we're going to make it to L.A.
I don't know. I mean, if I'm going to L.A., I'm going to eat at In-N-Out Burger.
I've never been that far west.
You ever been to In-N-Out Burger?
I've been to Jersey. I've never been to L.A. No, I've never had an In-N-Out. I've heard of them, but I never have never had one.
I think... anybody who's had an In-N-Out Burger will tell you just exactly how good In-N-Out Burger is.
You know what it sounds like? Like a hamburger you eat, and it goes right through you.
Yeah.
It's in, and it's out.
Do you know the first time I ever heard about In-N-Out Burger?
Like a slider.
I wonder if you remember this. The first time I ever heard about In-N-Out Burger was in Fletch.
I remember Fletch, Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase, he asked the reporter he's hitting on. He's like, hey, you want to grab a quick bite to eat? Maybe go to In-N-Out Burger. She's like, no. He's like, maybe just the out? How about just the in? Slight innuendo there, but it was like
he was good at that.
Yeah.
If it gets any hooter in here,
yeah.
The last one was a lady that went to a bank and found out she was dead. Apparently, the Social Security office had issued information that she was dead, and they'd closed out her credit cards and her bank and everything else. And it's hard to get undead when the Social Security office decides you're dead. So that takes a while. You just have to go around being dead. And then I also found information that said that apparently Silicon Valley is not very good at background checks.
Oh, really?
If you have good proclivity to do apps and coding and things like that, they'll hire you. No questions asked. They said there was a guy known as Brad Smith, who was the director of engineering for Radium One, who was a big app that was in Silicon Valley and, you know, one of those multi-million dollars in ad buying tech that was pushed into the spotlight, especially after the founder of it, the CEO, was charged with he had a conviction for misdemeanor domestic violence and battery. Yeah. So he was removed from there. Well, it finds out that the head of their engineering, he was on the Secret Service most wanted list for fraud and stealing identities and credit card theft and all kinds of other stuff. And he was their lead engineer for 5 years.
Sounds like a good gig for somebody like that.
Yeah. And he did that. Well, evidently, he's not the only one. They said that in addition to him, Yahoo fired CEO Scott Thompson for padding his resume with claims of an unearned computer science degree. And then last year, enterprise social media company Yammer discovered, after federal investigators showed up at its office, that one of its contractors in San Francisco was working under a fake name while being sought for child molestation in Georgia. And in 2000, then Lotus CEO Jeff Papaus resigned after it was discovered that he lied about being a captain and fighter pilot in the U.S. Marines, and about his educational background, and even about being a black belt in Taekwondo. So I think all those things summed up, it was a Taekwondo thing that got him.
I'm sure.
That you can't fib about being, I think Chuck Norris has something to say about that.
I'll tell you what, I really enjoy doing our podcast, but I would give it all up to go back to my days on the motocross racing dirt bikes.
I'm going
to
do a background check on that because you've never been on a dirt bike.
What? Never been on a dirt bike?
No.
We both know that's a lie.
Well, you've been on a mini bike that ran through some dirt.
I had a dirt bike growing up. I knew how to ride a dirt bike before a bicycle.
Yeah, but it was like 2 feet tall.
It was a 50cc Suzuki.
50cc. Then cubic centimeters.
I was like six.
I know. That's what I'm saying. You rode a bike through some dirt. You ate some dirt on a bike.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, you know, but then there was my motocross days when I was touring across the country, racing dirt bikes, doing sweet jumps, that whole deal.
That doesn't fly, bud. I know you too well. I don't need a background check to know that that's bogus.
I flew on my dirt bike.
That's bogus, dude. Me, I'm flying in my taxi, taking tips and getting stoned. I fly so high when I'm stoned. You know who that is?
No.
Harry Chapin.
Oh, Harry Chapin Carpenter.
No, not Harry Chapin Carpenter. That's twice you've pulled her Mary Chapin Carpenter up, and that's still not the same one.
Close enough.
Oh, no, that was something that didn't make it on the air. Never mind.
Did you cut that out?
Yeah, that was that Easter egg. We were going to play it, but it had too many misnomers to put in there.
So my callback just fell flat.
That wasn't even close. Harry Chapin.
My callback joke just fell flat.
Yeah. Harry Chapin should have been the one I should have told you about, Cats in the Cradle.
Oh, yeah.
That was his biggest hit.
I know that song for sure.
The other one I told you about was Gordon Lightfoot. That was completely wrong. A Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Oh, you said
Harry Chapin.
Was it that wreck?
Gordon Lightfoot did that one.
Yeah.
Harry Chapin did Cats in the Cradle. That was the big one.
Oh, wow. No wonder you couldn't let that fly.
No.
The CEOs would have been all over that one.
No, but Taxi, 30,000 pounds of bananas. Those were all Harry Chapin ones.
Well, if you are going to cut out something I've said, and I'm going to try to do a callback joke on it, you got to let me know on these things.
Okay. Well, I didn't cut that out. Remember, that was recorded separate.
Well, I know it was recorded separate.
We were going to make that an Easter egg, but you never sent it to me.
I did send it to you.
No, I never got it.
Then how'd you cut it out?
I never got it. I didn't have to cut it out. You recorded it, and it was when we were doing our mic checks.
We're getting ready for Easter by going to have some Easter eggs.
We were trying to develop an Easter egg. It didn't work. It was too wrong.
Not enough vinegar.
It had nothing to do with vinegar. It had to do with bad information.
That's pretty appropriate.
Well, now it's time for...
Oh, legal
briefs.
We rambled on so much, I forgot about legal briefs.
Yeah, I say, what about it?
Well, legal briefs is the part of the episode where there's certain legal terms that we've mentioned during the podcast, and I repeat them to Tommy to see whether or not he can remember what they mean. And sometimes he'll ask me something to remember if I know what it means.
And of course, I'm always 100% on the answers.
If you 100% through a wide angle viewing lens.
That's what I have on my phone.
Good for you. So I'm going to throw you a softball here.
All right.
CBA.
I'll catch it with my good hand.
CBA.
CBA, that's the collective bargaining agreement.
Exactly.
There you go.
What is a collective bargaining agreement?
That's the agreement between a union and the company as to who will do what and where and how and seniority and all that kind of stuff.
That's negotiated between the management and the workers generally.
Exactly.
Expungement or expunction?
Expungement has to do with SpongeBob. It's drawn by Steve Hillenburg. And I'm sad to find out that he announced he is suffering from ALS. But he will continue to do SpongeBob until the disease keeps him from doing it further. I love SpongeBob. He's a great character.
I do too. And that's one of the most horrible diseases there is.
Yep. I don't say that to be funny. I just heard that this week. And
yeah.
I kept thinking of SpongeBob every time you said expungement. So I had to fit that in there. Let's give a prayer for Steve and hope that he doesn't suffer the as badly as that disease is.
It's horrible. Horrible disease.
But expungement means they remove it from your record.
Right. It's a court-ordered process where basically you have to file something with the court, and they basically go back and seal it with different agencies and in the court record. The other one is EEOC.
EEOC, that's the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission.
Exactly.
Of course it's exactly. I'm always exactly.
You're 100%.
I am 100%.
Now, I have one more. There's one more.
Oh, before okay. You, all right, before I fire away.
Can you tell me...
Probably not.
What your there's four elements in a negligence action. What is your favorite?
My favorite action in a negligence action?
Your favorite element
of a negligence action.
Yes.
Chromium.
No.
Magnesium.
It starts with a D.
Demand.
Nope.
Divorce.
Nope.
Diametric.
Nope.
Distress.
Nope.
Disengagement.
Nope.
What is my favorite that starts with a D? Dilution.
No. Duty.
Duty.
I'm teeing these things.
I told you, we clean this up. I don't go there. I don't make poop jokes.
I don't even know why I want to do this podcast anymore if I can't make poop jokes.
The only one I make poop jokes for is Charlie. She's the only one that laughs at poop jokes.
I do too.
I said something about butts today and she laughed. Oh, bunny butts. She thought bunny butts was funny. All right. Now, I know I don't want to sound my brother and me-esque. But I have a question that I read that came in when I was researching strange stories concerning background checks.
Okay.
And this question was written into asksomething.com or something.
Ask Jeeves.
Or something like that. I kind of had questions about this too. It says, I feel weird about this employment background check form thing they want me to sign. I recently received a job offer and received a ton of documents, one of which is a waiver for the company to conduct a background check on me. It says that I authorize all my former employers to release information about me and that I release all parties involved from any and all liability for any and all damage that may result from providing such information. At the company I was previously at, I filed a complaint against my manager before I resigned. I have paid two employment checking agencies to conduct interviews of him to see if he says anything defamatory about me or lies about my job performance. With the first one, conducted a month after I left the company, he didn't say anything negative. But with the most recent one I had conducted a week ago, he refused to answer any questions beyond the verification of my employment. My question is this: will the company that offered me a job learn that I filed a complaint against my former manager? Or is this standard and they just verify employment?
That's standard.
That's all you got after all that?
Yep, standard. Usually most people, unless like there was something you did that was really, really, really outstanding and you were there for a really long time, or they're really nice, they're just going to say, they're just going to verify your employment. Yeah, he worked here. He did an all right job.
Well, I wondered about that from the employment side because I have had people call me up to verify employment and then they would also ask, what type of employee were they? Well, some people were good employees that left to go get a better job, and I have no problem with that. Mm-hmm. Other people, we had to fire for drugs. We had to fire because they didn't show up. We had to fire because they did poor work, things like that. Yeah. I don't want to tell other people that, but am I putting myself at risk as an employer if I say I had to fire them because they violated our book of rules?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
So all you can tell them is that they worked there.
I would just say, yes, they worked here during those.
So even if you the truth is not a defense, as we said defamation.
Yeah, I mean it might be a defense, but the thing is, why even open yourself up to that? Just say they worked here. It's all about basically a lot of legal profession is about.
But that's
limiting,
how bad employees keep getting hired as bad employees.
A lot of my job is about telling you how to limit your exposure. And
well, true. It's safer for me to say they worked here. That's all I'm going to say.
Yep, that's what I would tell you to do every time.
And now you hire them at the TSA, and there goes the next bomber right through the thing.
Okay, you're saving the country, Tommy. Keep doing it. One
interview at a time.
Hey, do you want a beer?
I'm out of bourbon.
Thanks to everybody for listening. And thanks to MCRB for use of their song, Doctor, Lawyer, Indian Chief.
And thanks to the McElroy Stable of Podcast for the use of their recording studio. Their podcasts include Mabim Bam, Sawbones, and Still Buffering, as well as many other fine offerings. And please, take the time to rate and review us on iTunes, especially if you liked us. If you didn't, well, then not so much.
You're not supposed to say that.
You always edit that out, though, right?
Usually. Good. This has been Court Appointed. I'm Mike Meadows, your co-host. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Strong. And I'm just a dude.